Moms, you're very special, as I think you already know. Some of you don't think you're all that special, but I want you to know you are amazing. You're absolutely amazing. When our Heavenly Father made men, He knew that we needed woman, and He made you so very special. I mean, think about it. I mean, I know, ladies, there are times when thinking about pregnancy is so commonplace, but not for everybody. And to think that you can conceive within you a new life, the life of someone who is going to bear the image of God. You are someone who is going to fall in love with this little person inside of you over the course of 9 months' time. And at the end of that 9 months, that whole time you've been risking your life, and you're going to give birth to this beautiful little person. And it's not going to be like other animals that we see in God's great kingdom here on earth. That they're born, and within half a day they're up and walking and basically taking care of themselves, with the exception they need milk and nourishment from their mom. You're going to have to take care of that little person for years. And once they're adults, you might think that it's all done. Those of you who have adult kids, you know what I mean, right? No, it's not done. So girls, I want to make sure you hear this. You're amazing. You're tremendous. And God made you very special. Don't let that go. Don't let something else enter your heart and mind that takes you down. You need to be lifted up because you are so very, very special. Thinking of my mom, she had to put up with me for 17 years. God bless her. And she didn't even know our Heavenly Father at that point. So she was really an amazing lady. If you look at your message notes, just as a very quick overview, you're going to notice on page 1, as we looked at that second letter to Timothy, the Holy Spirit said through Paul, and I've been taking principles from it for you girls, and that he said that you are a beloved child. He loves you. He loves you very, very much. If you don't hear from your spouse, or you've been separated from a spouse, understand your Heavenly Father's crazy about you. I have 2 daughters. And I am crazy about both of them. They're beautiful, they're bright, and they make me laugh. They're funny. They're just good people to be around. And they're like you girls. They're girls. And I don't understand them half the time because I'm a guy. But I'm a dad that really enjoyed looking at these little tiny people grow up in these little frilly outfits and to wear these things on their head that look really cute on them. They didn't like them. They'd usually try to rip them off. And you know, they'd be all in those frilly outfits, ready to go to church. And guess who'd fill up that diaper? That pamper needed to be changed. And we would be late to church like some of you are and missing out on your candy on Mother's Day. But looking back at our notes, you know, he says here, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. And girls, this is about you remembering these little ones who are now whatever size they are, remembering them night and day in your prayers. The interesting thing about all the things we covered last time, a young man came to me and he said, you know, Pastor, all those things you shared for the mothers and the stepmothers and the grandmothers and the aunts, they're appropriate for men. Yeah, they sure are, aren't they, Scott? So, looking back at your notes, you know, talking about a sincere faith that dwelt in the grandmother of Timothy and in the mother of Timothy. And Paul points out that mom not only receiving the gospel from her mother-in-law or her mother, we're not sure which, passed it on to Timothy. And that's your job too, mom, to continually live out the gospel before your children, speak the gospel to your children as well. On page 2 of your message notes, we looked at being in the Word of God, immersing yourself in the Word of God, because this is your textbook, this is your guidebook, this is your love letter to you and to your children, to receive it and to deliver it, to receive it and to live it out, to call attention to this is the way Jesus lived it out. And I, your mom, and as a father, should be living these things out before their children. You looked at the scripture and you saw that all of it is God-breathed. All of it comes from him, and that it is something for you to understand and to appropriate, because it is profitable for you as a mom. It will help you to be godly. It will help you to have godly character, to have godly conversations, and to be godly in your conduct, girls. But it comes from being someone who has chosen good people to be around and to follow them as they follow Christ. And in your DPE, your deep personal time with the Lord, those intimate times to receive from him the way he wants you to live in this world and to bring him honor and to bring him glory. Because girls, you are salt and light in this world. Salt is to make tasty him, our wonderful God, and his light to show them the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him, and he changes lives. So your first action step was to pursue godliness. On page 3 of your notes, the second step was that gnosko time, that time of intimacy, your deep personal time with the Lord. Because as you spend more time with him, you will move away from your fleshliness. We are all born selfish. I mean, those little children we saw on the screen, the ones you gave birth to, the ones that we watch come up here and even drop in the family's offering. How cute is that? But these little ones, as they are growing up, they're selfish too. I mean, think of it. I don't want to pick up, but we have some infants in the church. What do? They cry. What are they crying about? That they're bothering you and waking you up at night? Or that they're taking away part of your retirement because you're paying for them? No, they're crying because they want attention. You need to hold me. And you need to hold me just right. And you need to feed me. And I don't like that. You need to get this. You know? They're born sinners. And they need for you, mom, to show them the way to Christ, that they too might be changed. In Proverbs 16, verse 21, there on page 3, you learn that pleasant words are persuasive. And that's a good lesson to learn in the American church, because ladies, you're not known for, some of you are, But American church ladies are not known for being kind with their words. As I shared with you last week, I never heard a woman speak such foul language as this princess, this queen, standing at the top of her staircase. Her home had been burglarized, and I hadn't heard every word that came out of her mouth since I left the military. I thought she was my drill sergeant, only his teacher. So, girls, we have to be careful. And that's what brings us to where we left off last time. If you look at your notes, we're going to come here to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians, tremendous book that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. This church is young, and it's going to grow, and even in its young age is going to become one of those churches that loses its first love, Jesus. We're told that in the book of the Revelation. The church can't be more than 90 years old, probably in its 60s, and it's really lost its witness. Because it doesn't seek Jesus' best and highest good at their expense. They become like the people they once were. People who are selfish. People who are not demonstrating this love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. They've lost that. And so is the American church in a huge way. Bearing in mind, the church is not these buildings that dot the landscape. It's you and me who supposedly have given our lives to Christ. So here in Ephesians 4, verse 29, the Holy Spirit told Paul, tell him this. Tell him this. And so this morning he is saying the same thing to us. But girls, he's speaking to you. You're his prized possessions. You're part of a royal priesthood. You're part of a holy nation. You're exceedingly special because Hallmark said that we have Mother's Day. So the Lord is speaking to you in particular, but all of us. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. So I simply ask this. Was there any corrupting talk that came out of your mouth this last week? Think about it. Was there corrupting talk? What does he mean by corrupting talk? Talk that is harmful. One of the places we find it in extra-biblical literature, it's putrefying talk. It is profanity. I'm sorry to say, but I shared with you that I had my on-base language, I had my off-base language, and those words are still up here. I understand. They can come forward. They get stopped here most of the time, but not all the time, and for that, I embarrass him, and I have to confess and to repent. But girls, as you're around your children, and your husband, who might really prompt some sort of words you do not want to have them escape your lips. He says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, nothing harmful, unwholesome. Let these words not purse your lips, but only such is good for building up. And ladies, we're talking about for you to increase the potential, the build-up, to increase the potential of your children. Increase the potential of your children. This is what he is pointing towards. So let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. that may give this gift. They haven't done anything to earn it, but you're going to give it to them. Now, I'm sharing with you as the mailman, but the Lord Jesus is the one who has asked the Holy Spirit to convey this to Paul, to convey it to us this morning, and particularly girls. This is a passage of scripture you would do well to go over multiple times a week. To change your heart, your mind, and that will help to change your behavior. If you have any trouble whatsoever with corrupting talk, write this down, Proverbs 31. You know, that woman that just makes every other woman mad. Proverbs 31, verses 26 and 27. In verses 26 and 27, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom. She opens her mouth with chokmah. That's the Hebrew term, chokmah. She opens her mouth with as being someone whose father is God. She has learned from him. She has learned from other wise people wisdom. And I should go back. She has learned knowledge from her Heavenly Father by reading the Word of God. She has learned knowledge by being around knowledgeable, godly other people. And she takes that knowledge and she expresses it to the people around her, to her children. And therefore, this knowledge becomes wisdom for her kids. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The teaching of kindness, girls. It is an expression that makes one feel wonderful to speak kindness into the life of another person, and especially into the life of your children. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She watches over her household. She makes sure that her kids, her husband, are going to live in a special place. She makes it her business to take care of their home and a place to come home to that everybody enjoys. In verse 28, it says her kids rise up and call her blessed. Her kids rise up and call her blessed. Her husband, in the next verse, says that he praises her because she's this woman who speaks kindness. She is this woman who is growing in knowledge and expressing wisdom. I know that's what you want to be like, ladies. And you can be like that. But one of the things that may not be in your life is your DPE time. Make an appointment with him every day. This particular portion of time is for him. Someone else calls you up, hey, can we go to breakfast? Can we go to lunch? Nope. Not today. Why? I have an appointment already. You have an appointment with the Lord. The two of you need to spend time together. I need him all the time. A godly mother is one who is generous toward others and knows what generosity is about. The fact is, look here at your notes. Here's your fill-in. A godly mother knows everybody needs to be built up. Everybody needs to be built up. Your kids need to be built up. Do you ever even think, does it come to mind, my kids need to be built up? Do you understand? I know I'm not the, I'm just one of the guys growing to become a more godly guy. But do you understand? It didn't sink into me until years ago, going through this book multiple times, just reading it in my DPE time, because I wanted to be well familiar with this letter to the Ephesian church. But it's then that I discovered that my kids need to be built up. Otherwise, it passed me over. Never thought about it. But not only that, Kathy needs to be built up. I don't need to go around beat on her like she beats on me. But I need to build her up. There are times when she feels like a slug. She feels like she's not beautiful to me anymore. She feels, I didn't tell her those things, but it just comes on her. I don't know, maybe it comes on you girls too. You just feel inadequate. She is a tremendous woman, and she's my wife, and God gave her to me to punish. Sometimes she thinks, though, that, you know, I'm just there to pick on her, but no, I build her up. She's beautiful. She's smart. She is so smart. She would help me in her, you know, she finished her undergraduate. I put us, finished up our last couple of years together when we got married. She, you know, she didn't have to work. We just need to finish up her college education, and then I'd finish up mine. But she's so smart. She would help me with my undergrad term papers and check my grammar and check the spelling. And my goodness, she was already a teacher with her red marker. And you know, it's like when I got to the point, you need to rewrite this paper. You write it, woman. And on one occasion, she did. God bless her. So a godly mother knows everybody needs to be built up to increase their potential. Girls, you need to be about increasing the potential of your children. You're called into doing this. And don't forget your husband. He needs to be built up too. Nobody wants, looking at your notes, to be torn down. And not only that, if a mother can, she's going to be generous toward her children and toward her husband and toward other people. Ladies, Abba doesn't want you to just be a good mom. Don't settle for that. He wants you to be an extraordinary mom. That's an extraordinary mom. Because you see, you have all the gifting to be this extraordinary mom. The Holy Spirit has come to live within you. You have supernatural power to be this awesome, totally awesome woman of God. A godly woman. Say with me aloud, I need to be an encourager, not a discourager. I need to be an encourager, not a discourager. Now turn to the person next to you and tell them that.
I need to be an encourager, not a discourager.
Now husbands, let's not use this, you know, against our girls, okay? But girls, you heard. You need to be an encourager, not a discourager. Say with me aloud, I need to be a refresher and not a depleter. I need to be a refresher, not a depleter. This is who we are all called to be, but mom, you're the focus right now. And where our focus goes, our
energy flows.
All right. Proverbs 22, verse 9. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed. Solomon's saying, whoever has a generous eye, girls, whoever has a generous eye will be blessed. You want to get blessed? Be generous, mom. You want to be blessed, stepmom? Be generous. You want to be blessed, grandma? Be generous. You want to be blessed, auntie? Be generous. Be generous. And when I think about that, I think about how many times I saw my mom, when someone came over to the house, and have to bear in mind, I was raised in a very lower class, middle class family. And as such, when someone came to our house, my mom, it's like, during the time when they were there, she had to give them something, or when they were leaving, for sure, she had to give them something like an apple, an orange, a banana. Who does that today? Probably not many people, other than those who are poor and are generous. And that apple and that orange and that banana that she usually gave away was mine. Bless her heart. Generosity is a godly quality, girls. Not what I can do for myself, not what I can do for me, not what I can do for I, you know, the unholy trinity that we studied about in other lessons. But it is to be generous towards others. That is a Christ-like spirit within you, rising up and manifesting itself as a godly mom. Generosity is good for everybody. Would you say that with me? Generosity is good for everybody. It certainly is. It's good for everybody. Look at our action step. Think about it. It's good for you to give of yourself. It's good for you to give of yourself. It's good for the other person who has needs. It's a win-win situation, folks. Win-win. It's good for you to give of yourself. It's good for the other person who has needs. That's a very important quality of a godly mom. Then, of course, a godly woman is going to obey her brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. She's going to find herself knowing what he has said and obeying it, saying, yes, Lord, okay, I've been wrong in the past, maybe. I confess and I repent of that. She's going to be a godly woman and follow through with obedience. And one of the reasons, girls, you're going to be obedient is go back to that second letter to Timothy. And remember, it is profitable. It is profitable for you to be obedient. And it's profitable for your children if you are obedient. And you can demonstrate in their lives how profitability comes into their lives when they are obedient to you, who is being obedient to Jesus. Your husband will also benefit from this. A godly mother is generous. She not only reads the Word of God, she meditates on the Word of God. And one of our older mothers in the church, she has been sharing with me that she has been memorizing the Word of God. When I usually hear older people, oh, I can't memorize now, you know. Yes, you can. It's just a matter of really wanting to. Thank you, Barbara. She memorizes the Word of God, she reads the Word of God, and she has found that it is profitable for her to do so. Look at a fourth quality here in your notes of a godly woman is she's going to have a spirit of, obedience to God, which means, the word means has been left out there, but which means she will not worry about a lot of things, but she will be a godly person reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You can't help but reflect him, girls. If you take these action steps that were shared with you last week and this morning, make them operable in your life with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, you will be even more amazing than you already are. And you will be on that right road with Abba Father. You'll be pleasing this wonderful heavenly dad that we have. And then I think, looking back at this section I gave you here in your notes, you could say that one of the qualities of a godly mother is that she's forgiving. Forgiving. Why is that such a hard thing in the American church? Why is it that American Christians, at least professing Christians, have such a hard time with being forgiving? I don't understand that personally. I understand how God can forgive, how God can go to a cross, how God can suffer so. But why he would do it for the likes of me, I have no idea, but he did. And I've got to think about, how is it that I cannot forgive someone else who has offended me, who has hurt me, who has run my name down, who has written something awful about me? How can I not forgive them if he forgave me all the things that I have done that required his getting ripped apart with the cat and nine tail and going to the cross and suffering the punishment he didn't deserve, but I deserved? How can I not? How can I not forgive? Looking back at this section again, forgiving is absolutely essential, Mom. Absolutely essential. And this is a good one because over almost 40 years of ministry and counseling, ladies, one of the things that comes up strongly is not wanting to forgive someone. And girls, are you so sinless that these people who are a person who has ticked you off does not deserve your forgiveness? I have it on good authority. Look at Matthew 6:14 here. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So the reverse is that if you will not forgive someone else of their sins, he's not going to forgive you your most recent sins. In other words, he's not going to say, I'm going to take away your salvation. He is not saying that. What he is saying is you and I are going to be separated. You and I are not going to have that intimate, that gnosko relationship. We're going to be separated until such time as you decide that you're not God, and I am, and I decided I would forgive the likes of you. Time for you to forgive whoever it is that has offended you. And it could be a tremendous hurt. I get that. But I had to go through a short list a long time ago of being forgiving. Being very forgiving. You want the Lord to forgive you. In Mark 11:25, Jesus says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses, your sins. In your humanness, it's going to be very, very hard. Well, at least it was for me to forgive someone. I can't really forgive someone thoroughly in my humanness. Because in my humanness, that goes back to my days of being part of Satan's family. And in Satan's family, you don't forgive people. I mean, they don't forgive each other. But in Abba's family, in which we have been adopted, nobody is encouraged not to forgive. I know also that the Holy Spirit lives within all of you ladies, if you who are saved, if you are a follower of Jesus, he has given you the overwhelming capacity to be able to forgive. It's part of his cleaning us up. You can forgive. In Ephesians 4:32, Paul, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God is saying to you then, and he's saying it to us this morning. And girls, we're focusing on you. But guys, don't think he isn't talking to you. He says here, be kind to one another. You got that, girls? Be kind to one another. Well, I don't particularly like... doesn't matter. Be kind to one another. Well, I don't know. You don't have to know them to be kind to them. Right? I don't have to know you intimately to be kind to you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate. Feel with these other people. Forgiving. Oh, there it is again. You think that this is a big deal with God. It is. It really is, especially in his family. There isn't anyone in his family that is allowed not to forgive. The only one that can't forgive is God. And that will be those who are not in Christ because they choose not to receive him. Be kind to one another, girls, tenderhearted towards one another, girls, forgiving one another, girls, and God in Christ, as God in Christ forgave you. Just as God in Christ forgave you. How did he forgive you? Some of your sins? Or all of them. There's our example, family. There's our example, girls. Forgiveness is the spirit of a follower. It is the mark of a disciple, a legitimate disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, look what he forgave you. I know what he forgave me. My goodness. So ladies, mothers, stepmothers, grandmothers, aunties, when you have given your best, you've been generous, you've been obedient, and for some reason your kids look at you and don't appreciate you, it'll be hard. Maybe you can't let it be like water off a duck's back. Go to the Lord. Go to your Savior and tell him, that hurt. That hurt. I need your help in this. I need to be loving towards them. You told me I have to love my enemies. I have to love my husband. I have to love my children. I need to seek their best and greatest good at my expense. Go to him in your gnosko time. Lay it all out. I've had to do this multiple times. Get down on my knees, literally, physically. Lay prostrate on my face before him. sometimes in tears, physical tears. Lord, don't let me be discouraged. Don't let me be depleted. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, don't let me become discouraged. Let me be encouraged in you. I'm your son. You would say, I'm your daughter. You know, I've been saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm in your family. I have the spiritual gift mix. I can be a blessing to countless numbers of people in the power and in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the hand of God, girls. Allow the Holy Spirit to mend and to reshape those things that are cracked and broken in your life by the personality of maybe your kids or someone else in your life that will want to rob you of being a godly woman. And so the Holy Spirit will work through all these things in your life to make you that woman that you and he wants you to be. Abba Father has planted within a mother this awesome sense of sacrifice. And so often it just comes naturally. I mean, that little one, from the time they were itty bitty to whatever age, they cry at night, and mom is usually the one that gets up. I mean, Ronnie didn't sleep through the night until he was over 3 years old. And Kathy made a deal with me, forced me into a deal. If the girls or he were not hungry, she knew because she had fed them. If their diapers were dry and didn't have any other kind of refuse in there. So if those things were fine and they weren't sick, then Ron, it's up to you to go take care of your son or your daughter. You notice how the words get changed around? It's ours or mine, and then it's yours. And as I've shared in other times and other places, that it was good that Ronnie was 3 years old, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in there patting him on the back, and I was in a time in my life when I was memorizing a lot of scripture, and I'm going, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not kill. Ladies, you need to be persistent, persistent in prayer. Prayer for your kids, prayer for your husband. You need to be persistent in reading the Word of God. You need to be persistent, very persistent, in applying what you have read in the Word of God as it relates to everyone, but specifically we're talking about your children and your husband. Release the Holy Spirit's power within you. Make sure you have that regular DPE time, girls. Be generous, encouraging, and forgiving, and know you can then be depended on to live out these godly action steps. Mom, gather the action steps in the last two Sundays and put them in the practice. No making excuses, because then you're just saying, Lord, I don't want to be obedient to you. I don't love you. I really don't if I don't want to be obedient to him. I'm supposed to seek his best and his highest good at my expense. He taught me that by sending his son to the cross for your sins and mine, and receiving the punishment for it. Mom, gather the action steps and put them in the practice. Be that woman. Be that godly woman. be that godly mom who inspires, yes, who inspires your children, who inspires your husband, that your children will one day rise up, if they haven't already, and say, huh, got a godly mom, and I am so blessed of the Lord to have her. They may not even believe in the Lord, but they know you're special by the way you've treated them. And your husband, he will praise you. He will praise you for your godly behavior. Get it? Good. All right, let's pray. Abba, Father, I speak this prayer to you now in gratitude, yes, gratitude and praise for the gift of godly mothers. Oh, receive my gratitude again for my mom. I love her, Father. I miss her. I'm so glad she's with you. I thank you that she prayed for me for all those years in the military. She gathered a group of godly men around her at church as a new Christian, and they prayed for me too. Thank you for my mom. Thank you. Thank you for these mothers, those godly moms here in our church family, godly moms that I know personally, my friends and relatives. Thank you for the role they play in our family. Thank you for their teaching from your word, their wisdom that came from your word. Their patience and understanding that was given them upon their salvation and during their special gnosko times with your son. Thank you for the physical, emotional, and spiritual gifts they possess. Abba, I ask that you help these GHCC mothers to be a blessing upon their children. Whether delivering affirmation, encouragement, a refreshing word, or discipline. I pray that you help every word and action to be done in agape and phileo love, that it goes out in an unconditional and sacrificial way and is filled with warm family love. And I pray that their children would take time to honor their mothers. These women are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Great works as moms, as wives, which you prepared beforehand, that they should walk in them, live them out in the power of your wonderful Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Oh, Abba, may these women see themselves for what they are, custom made by you and your awesome masterpieces. I pray that these mothers also conduct themselves as a blessing beyond their households, reaching into their extended families, this church family, communities, and schools. I pray that the impact of godly motherhood is revered throughout our our American society, and that these women are acknowledged for their everyday impact on the world by their conduct, their character, and their conversation. May you guide each of them into fulfilling their purpose here on earth. In the gracious, most merciful, loving name of Jesus. Amen.